Excellent. Friends, when you've got an undesirable job to do, what's your first response to that undesirable job? Do you sit and try to pretend that that job just doesn't exist? Because perhaps as I pause, as I don't do it, maybe somebody else will come along and do it for me if I just leave it alone. I tried that method of avoidance at our recent mission trip just a couple of weeks ago. We had corn on the cob for dinner, and we threw out our trash that night, all the old nasty corn husks, and we put it out for the night, and we thought it would be safe outside, but some animal got into the bag and ripped it all open and spread all the food and garbage all over the place. And to exacerbate the problem, it rained on all the garbage, making it an even more gross pile to look at by the next morning. So I stared at it, and I wished somebody would do something about it. Now, my wife has trained me well. She said, if you say something, if you complain about something, then perhaps that's God speaking to you, saying that maybe it's you who should do something about it. So I was smart. I kept my mouth shut. I just ignored it. I tried to pretend it didn't exist. I tried to wish it away. Day after day, I saw it as we went in and out of the house, the Joshua house where we stayed. I think that's the way that we treat a lot of the problems in our own lives. We just simply close our eyes to them and wish them away. Perhaps we try to cover them up with nice and happy faces that we put on our Facebook accounts and try to pretend that whatever issue we have stirring underneath the surface just isn't there. Sometimes we try to drown our problems in things like alcohol, or we try to eat them away by overeating. All the while, all we do is cover up the problems, whatever issue we have in our lives, and the problem doesn't just magically go away. Underneath the surface, it just keeps getting worse. And so I stared at that garbage outside of the mission house where we stayed, and it didn't go anywhere. I was hoping to wish it away, but it didn't. And those corn husks, they stared right back at me. And then they started speaking to me. They said, Bill, I'm not going anywhere. Are you going to turn your back on me and pretend that we're not here? Are you going to just simply wish me away by closing your eyes? I'm not going to just disappear. Somebody has to do something about us. And so I did. I relented. I finally broke down. I went down to the basement. I found some old rubber gloves. I went outside and picked up the trash and I threw it away. And there's absolutely nothing heroic about what I did, but it was a reminder to me from God that love doesn't turn away. Love doesn't ignore the issues in front of us. But love does. Love does work to find an answer. Over this last couple days, I kept getting drawn back to a scripture that I had referred last week to in the children's sermon, which is this scripture that Trish just read about a man who is possessed by demons. And Jesus disembarks from a boat in the Galilee region to a place called the Gerasenes and immediately is confronted with this man who is possessed by multiple demons. Now, there are times in our lives in which we get confronted with our problem. It's right there in front of our face. We can't ignore it. There's nothing we can do about it but to address it. And friends, love compels us to do something about it because love works. I think about this poor man that was driven out. He was driven out of his home by his family. He was driven out of his town by his neighbors. And I often think to myself, where is this man supposed to go? Where else was he supposed to go? Now, I feel also for the people that lived in that town as well. This man's mental instability made him a dangerous person to be around. And secondly, if you've ever tried to live with a person with a serious mental illness, then you know trying to live with a person like that can be unbearable at times. And so I feel for the people, but the question just keeps popping up into my mind, where is this man supposed to go? Should he simply move along on his way and simply become some other city's problem? If that were the case, then the other city would probably treat him the same way. They, too, would have driven him out in a way. This whole passage reminds me a lot of the families and the people that we work with in Grace Park, people who are truly homeless. And when I listen to their stories about struggling to find a place to sleep at night, I think about that, and the same question wells up in my heart. It says, where are they supposed to go? One of the men that I've met down there is this man right in the middle. He was featured in the Akron Beacon Journal. His name is Richard Grass. He owns like 10 different tents And he sets up one tent for himself, and he's got nine others he sets up every night for whoever it is that needs shelter for the night. And he sets them up right in the middle of our city parks, which becomes an issue for the people who work in the parks. Our parks are not campgrounds, and he's told it, listen, these aren't campgrounds. You can't just camp here indefinitely. But his struggle is, where am I supposed to go then? Where are people like Richard supposed to be? Should they just simply disappear? So we simply move them along and so that they become a part of some other city's problem. Because as long as I don't have to see the problem, then I guess that problem just doesn't exist, right? Wrong. Closing our eyes to the issues in our own lives or closing our eyes to the problems of the world doesn't make the problems go away. We can try that as a strategy. We can adopt that as a strategy for life. Go ahead and just close your eyes to the problems in your life and see what happens to the problems. But love is, that is not a strategy that love employs. Instead, love chooses to see. Love chooses to act. And friends, love works. And so Jesus is confronted with this man who is possessed by multiple demons. And this man hadn't worn clothes for a long period of time. His body was exposed to the world around him. So you can just imagine how bad his hygiene must have been. You can just imagine the sores that must have covered his body from being exposed to an unfeeling world. And he was stuck. He was stuck where he was. Now, people in the town had tried several different ways to make him disappear. They tried to drive him out, but that didn't work. They tried to starve him in the world, but that didn't work. They tried to chain him up because they considered him a dangerous animal, but that didn't work either. And where he ended up being is he lived amongst the dead. He lived in the tombs. And he emerged from the tombs that day when Jesus got off of that boat and comes face to face with the one person who will never turn away from any one of us. And he discovers love. A love that would not torment him. A love that did not starve him of affection. A love that did not chain him. But rather a love that would set him free. Because friends, that's what love does. Love sees, love acts, and friends, love works, and love is courageous. Over the last 20 years, I've sat down with so many of you, people in the pews, people at my churches where I've served, and I've heard your stories, and I've listened in powerful ways in which love has worked and moved in your lives. I've had conversations with so many veterans who have served our country in foreign wars, and I've heard stories of absolute heroism, things that I would never have been able to do, and I've told them that. I was like, you've done things and accomplished things I would have never had the courage to do. And I was taken back one day by one of the veterans, and he told me, he's like, you know what, I never had the courage to do any of that stuff either. And I thought he was just being humble. I mean, the guy had saved several people's lives in the middle of an absolute battlefield, and he had left a place of absolute safety and went into the line of fire. He was shot, going and retrieving several of his fellow soldiers who were also wounded. I don't know about you, but that categorizes as pretty brave to me. But he said what he did that day had nothing to do with bravery. When he signed up for the military, he signed up, and he was about 18 years old, and he went to serve our nation. And he thought he was going to fight for our nation. But that day on the battlefield, he said he wasn't fighting for our nation. He wasn't fighting for some ideal. It had nothing to do with bravery. It had nothing to do with courage that he did. He said most days he was scared to death on the front lines. But he said what happened is everything that he did because of love. That he was there and he's in his place of safety. He looked out in the fields in front of him and he saw his fellow soldiers laying in the mud and struggling. And in agony. He said, I couldn't turn away from them. I paused, he said, to see if somebody else would go to them, but when nobody did, I knew it had to be me. And so he went. He said, I went to them because I loved them. I went to them because I loved them. It sounds like somebody we all know. And so Jesus goes to a man that the world a man that no one else in the world would have loved. He goes to him. And he sees this man exposed in his absolute misery. Friends, if you ever think that you're any different than the man that was possessed by demons, we aren't. None of us are. Maybe his problems were just easy to see, and maybe we do a better job of hiding our problems. But man, when we're standing in front of God, all of us are exposed. We can't hide anything. And there was this man who was exposed in all of his misery. And Jesus doesn't drive him away. He doesn't ignore him. He doesn't turn away from him. He went to him, and he saved him, because love works. Now, I read this quote a couple weeks ago. It says, faith makes all things possible and love makes all things easy. And I have to be honest with you, I don't agree with it at all. Maybe love makes some things easy. When my kids were little, before they were able to speak, they were really easy to love, as long as they were sleeping through the night. And I love my children dearly, but I don't always love them in the same way. It's easy to love my wife. But I know that there are moments in time that I make it probably kind of hard for her to love me in return. And I've never really had the experience that of anything of value that I've done for love, nothing was particularly easy because of love. Love doesn't necessarily make things easy, but what love does is it keeps us in the struggle. Love engages us. It keeps us sticking in the fight so that perhaps an answer can be found. Love isn't easy, but love works. And we just returned from Steubenville about a week ago. And when we came back from Steubenville, I was surprised when I was down there to find out that only one other church had been there before us this summer. And that wasn't totally a surprise because the summer's still pretty early, but for the remainder of the mission season, there's only going to be one other church that will follow us and all the work that needs to be done down in that place. In my mind, I thought that their schedule must be booked, and they have tons of churches flooding in there. The fact is, there isn't. Just one other church group to follow them. And I thought about all of the work that we left undone down there. I was like, who in the world is going to do it all? And I'd like to think that we maybe fixed some of the problems that were there down in Steubenville. But I think I'd be lying to myself if I totally believed that was true. But love compels us not to turn away. And so what should we do with Steubenville and other communities like them across our nation? Should we just simply drive away from them and forget that they exist? Because if I don't see them, I guess then that the problem just isn't there, right? Close my eyes to it and it disappears. That's not the way the world works. But rather, love compels us not to turn away. While we are there, love compelled us to do work that caused our backs to ache and our hands to ache. Love compelled us to go into a garden where a bunch of us got poison ivy to bring food to the multitudes. Love compelled us to continue to work in the middle of a rainstorm, digging in the mud to fix somebody's driveway. Love compels us, it compelled us to continue to go into homes and buildings that most of us would have condemned by our own standards. Love compels us to stay in the struggle. Love compels us to be engaged, to see. And perhaps when we finally see them, perhaps then we can finally use the God-given gifts that we have to actually move towards a real solution, a real answer. Now, the people who stayed on in the urban mission and continue to work in Steubenville, in my eyes, they are saints in the making. And we met so many of those saints in the making in the week that we were down there. The guy in the orange shirt right in the middle is a man named Terrence Rainbow. And Terrence and his wife moved from New York City to Steubenville because can you imagine the culture shock of going from New York City to Steubenville? Very different places. And Terrence heads up the housing ministry that we worked with. He oversees all of the work projects that we do. It's not like Terrence couldn't be somewhere else. He and his wife are beyond talented people. She's a beyond talented musician. She's got a beautiful voice. She could go anywhere. But he and his wife choose to stay in Steubenville. They've chosen to plant their roots there. They've chosen to stay and not turn away so that God will continue to work through them and flow through them to the people that they serve there. Ashley Steele is the woman in the middle in this picture. She's the director of the Urban Mission. And Ashley is beyond talented and smart. She could be one of the bishops in the United Methodist Church. She could go and serve in one of the largest churches in our denomination and make a ton more money than she does at the Urban Mission. But she doesn't. She chooses to stay where she is, to serve amongst the poorest of the poor. And she's got a beautiful vision of what the church can be. And I would follow Ashley anywhere. And believe me, I don't say that about just anybody. But my gosh, Ashley is humble. She doesn't self-promote. But what she does do is she allows God to work through her. And Jesus Christ is flowing through her hands, and through her work into that place. No matter where we go and no matter what issue is confronted us, whether it be our own personal things or whether it is something that we discover out in the world around us, friends, love compels you not to turn away. Love will keep you in the struggle. Love will keep you engaged. And in the name of Jesus Christ, when everything else is broken, remember, love works. Amen.